Is over this Easter season about hope and thinking about the fact that hope has a name. And this morning we're going to get to 1 Peter. If you've got a Bible, feel free to turn to it. If you've got an old-fashioned Bible, it's about halfway through the New Testament. If you've got an electronic Bible, it's easy to find. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 3. Peter says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into not a dead hope, but a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, and I've just lost my place, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and a glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I wonder if you've ever had an experience in life, you know, one of those moments where everything seems to come at you at once, every possible emotion. You experience joy, relief, or maybe fear, even tears. That place where you kind of find yourself laughing and crying and wanting to sing and jump and shout all at the same time. I'm talking about the kind of joy which is basically that kind of uncontrollable fusion of emotions under what should be normal circumstances. And a fusion of emotions that normally wouldn't actually go together. That kind of a moment that's almost too much for us to contain or to hold, and somehow all that emotion bursts out of us. As I think back 20 or so years ago now, I remember finding myself in that place over the birth of our first child, Toby. Not because he was more special than the others, he was just the first. And I experienced every single possible emotion in that moment. The pain of the labor. The agonizing weight of the labor. The mind-blowing reality that we were now responsible for this little life and we did not have a clue what we were doing. The paralyzing fear I experienced as the midwife whisked our newborn child away because he wasn't breathing, and the anxiety that was probably only about 30 seconds, but in my world it felt like about 20 minutes. The awe of the miracle as this amazing little baby was returned to us minutes later, the pure exhaustion of having gone through such a difficult labor for all those hours. My experience was kind of a myriad of emotions which were both competing with and complementing each other all at the same time. And it's really difficult, isn't it, to try and put that kind of experience into words. I wonder if even now you can think of a similar experience in your own life where all of those emotions have come crashing in at once. And in a sense, that's what Peter is trying to do for us in our scripture reading this morning. He's trying to describe something that words simply can't describe. The emotions that he's experienced as he's come into relationship with Jesus, you rather get the sense, don't you, in what we've read, that he's absolutely gushing. And in the end, to try and gather all of his emotions together, he says, "Because we believe, we are filled with an inexpressible and a glorious joy." Isn't that a great phrase? An inexpressible and a glorious joy. What a God we have. How fortunate we are to have him. And on Easter Day every year, we discover why we can have that inexpressible, that glorious joy. Because Easter is not just about something that happened past tense, but it's about something that's happening present and future tense. Because of Easter, hope rises. Because of Easter, as Clive said on Thursday evening, hope explodes. So I have an impossible task this morning. What I'm going to try and do is describe to you something that God's word has already said is inexpressible. We're on a hiding to nothing this morning. I'm just warning you of that, so humor me. And the first thing we discover from our text, from 1 Peter, is that hope rises. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Peter doesn't kind of ease into his message, does he? He bursts into praise. He begins saying, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is not some kind of calm, reflective introduction that you might give in an essay. It's an eruption of joy. Why? Because Peter has discovered that because of the risen Jesus, everything has changed. He's trying to say to us, look, everything starts here with this good news. It's not beginning with advice, it doesn't begin with effort, it's not beginning with religion, but it begins with the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was dead, but now look, it's Sunday and suddenly he's alive, and because he lives, hope no longer is fragile or wishful, it's living. Our hope is living because of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, most of the time when we use the word hope, we mean something that's a little bit uncertain, don't we, in our everyday language. I really hope that things will get better. I really hope that things in my workplace kind of figure themselves out. I really hope that I can make it through this circumstance. There's a sense in which when we talk about hope, it's very fragile. It's very circumstance dependent. Our hope rises and it falls depending upon what's happening around us. But what Peter is saying, I think, in our text today is radically different. He's saying we have a living hope, not a dead hope, a living hope. It's not a wish, it's not a maybe, it's not fragile optimism, it is a living hope. Why is it living? Because it's rooted in a living, not a dead Saviour. Can you see them? When we start to understand the resurrection in this way, it starts to change everything. Think about it. If Jesus had stayed in the grave where he went into on Good Friday and he'd stayed dead, then our hope would have died with him. If death had had the final word, then suffering would have won in the world, sin would have won, and darkness would have won. But the resurrection declares something really powerful. It says to you and to I today, as it did to Peter, that death is not the end. Sin does not have the final say in our lives when we come to know and love Jesus. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, he didn't just defeat death, he redefined our reality, and more than that, he redefined our eternity if only we will trust in him. Our hope is no longer based on our circumstance, but it's based on a person, and that person is alive, and that person is Jesus Christ, and because he's alive, we can still know him today. I wonder if you know that to be true. You see, because Jesus lives, your past does not define you. Because Jesus lives, your present does not control you. Because Jesus lives, your future is not actually uncertain, even though you might not know what you're going to have for dinner tomorrow. And that's why Peter is saying, look, we've been given this new birth into a living hope. It's birth into living hope. It's not just improved behavior. It's not a second chance to try harder. It's a brand new life. We're born again into this brand new life that is anchored in the living hope that's given to us in Jesus. And Peter's quite quick, isn't he, to kind of underline that everything in life will fade and perish and fall apart, but a living hope simply cannot die because Jesus is alive. And because he lives, our hope rises. First point, we have this living hope. But Peter doesn't just say that we have hope. He tells us what that hope does. And he says, this hope is amazing because it raises us up into new life. He says, we've been given this new birth. And I think his language is very, very intentional. He's not trying to say here, here's a slight adjustment to your life. Here's a slight improvement for you. This isn't God just helping you to become a slightly better version of yourself. But this is complete transformation when you come to faith in Jesus. Your old life has died, and when you come to faith in Christ, you have this new beginning. It's a whole new beginning. It's new life in Christ. Now, I don't know if you watch television terribly much. I try not to, but we live in a world which is obsessed with self-improvement. How many of us love watching self-improvement programs on TV? Yeah. Who watches Sort Your Life Out? It's my kids' favorite program. I love it when they watch it because they go and tidy their room immediately after they've watched it. But Jesus is offering more than just sort your life out. He's offering more than say, be better, try harder, fix yourself, reinvent your life. The gospel is offering something much deeper to us if only we can grasp it. This is not self-improvement. This is new birth. You don't just turn over a new life, but Peter is wanting to underline to us that in Jesus, you actually end up with new life, a new identity, a new beginning, a new future. And this is what resurrection hope does for us. It doesn't just change your outlook on life, it actually changes you. And that's what makes the Christian journey, I think, so exciting. That when I trust in Jesus, I'm entrusting my life into a Savior who can not only help me turn over a new leaf, but can give me a completely new beginning and a new life in Him. And I guess this is where all this message becomes really personal, isn't it? Because it's all well and good saying, I'm really pleased for you that you've trusted in Jesus and you know new life. But actually the challenge is have we accepted that new life for ourselves? You see, this kind of life that Peter's talking about here isn't something that we're called just to understand intellectually, but it's something that we're invited to experience. There's a great quote. I don't know who wrote it. I think it might have been me ages ago. It says this, the Christian faith is an experience faith. The experience of relationship with Jesus changes everything. Did you get that? The Christian faith is an experience faith. The experience of relationship with Jesus changes everything. And I'm now like 3 decades into my journey with Jesus, and I can tell you that that statement is true. The day I came to know and love Jesus as my Lord and Savior, everything changed for me. I experienced a Savior, and I experienced change. And that's exactly what Peter is pointing out here. He's saying new birth isn't just this concept, but actually it's a reality that you step into. It's not just something you wrestle with your head, but it's something that you're invited to experience within your heart. It's the moment when you realize that because of Jesus, you're not the person you used to be. It's the moment when you realize that you're not the person that the world is telling you you have to be. You're not the person your past says you are, but you are the person who Jesus says you are. And he says to you, Peter says to us this morning, underlined in this text, you've come to a new experience and a new life in Christ. You see, Easter speaks directly into the deepest places of our identity, doesn't it? So many people live their lives, and I wonder if this is you this morning, defined by something in their past. I wonder if some of us this morning are being defined by something in our past. Could one of the welcomers let the nice man in who stood at the door? He'd love to come into the building. So many of us live our lives defined by our past failures. So many of us live our lives by our fears. But the good news of the resurrection of Jesus is actually his story comes and interrupts that negative story that we might be living out. Instead, it declares, as Peter discovered, it's not who you are anymore. But when Jesus rose, he didn't just leave the grave behind, but he made a way for you to leave your old life behind too. So I wonder for you this morning as you listen to this, what is it that defines you? Is it the worst moment that you've ever had in your life? Is it the biggest regret that you've ever wrestled with? Is what defines you today your deepest fear? You see, if you're defined by the risen Christ, then that means you are a forgiven person. If you're defined by Jesus Christ, it means you are a restored person. If you've come into relationship with Jesus, then it means that you've been made new because of this new life that Jesus invites us into. And this is why hope rises into new life, because hope isn't just an idea, but hope has a name, and the name of hope is Jesus. If you want to discover new hope in your life, then discover relationship with Christ. So I want to encourage you today to hear the truth of Easter again, that it's possible to have a new beginning if you haven't already had it. It's possible to live in a relationship with Christ because he's not a dead savior, he's a living savior. You can experience life in all of its fullness. Now, what I love about Peter in our text, and I hope you spotted this, is he's not naive in declaring all of this, is he? He doesn't say, do you know what, the day you come to faith in Jesus, he's going to kind of bubble wrap you up and you're going to make your way through life without getting any bruises or bumps. Peter doesn't try and pretend that being a follower of Jesus is easy. If anything, it actually makes life more challenging. He doesn't ignore suffering in the world. He doesn't offer a kind of shallow encouragement to us. He says, though for now, for a little while, you may have to suffer all kinds of griefs and all kinds of trials. That's really honest, isn't it? It's real life. All kinds of trials, every form of pain, the full range, loss, disappointment, anxiety, sickness, injustice, waiting. You see, Easter faith never denies pain and difficulty, but it transforms pain and difficulty. Easter hope does not deny difficult things in our lives, but it gives us the ability to deal with those things, knowing that we have an eternal purpose and an eternal perspective. So we're able to say at the same time as Christians, you know what, this situation in life deeply hurts me, but my hope is still alive. We're able to say, this is not what I wanted for my life, and yet I can say, God is still at work. You see, that's Easter faith. The resurrection of Jesus settles something forever. Suffering is real, but it is never final. Death looked final on Friday. Silence felt final on Saturday, but Sunday declares that God always has the final word. That's what he did when he walked out of the grave. And if God can bring life out of the grave, then I think he can even bring pain, purpose out of our pain. I think that's what Peter's saying in our text. And then finally, we get to this amazing thing to be able to say, that hope rises into inexpressible joy. Isn't what he says remarkable? Though you have seen him and you love him, you've not seen him and you love him, you're filled with an inexpressible and a glorious joy. Quick hands up. Who wants to experience some more inexpressible and glorious joy this morning? Yeah, tell your face that that's what you need this morning. You see, in a sense, this is the paradox of Easter, isn't it? We don't see Jesus physically, but we can know him personally. You and I have never stood at the empty tomb as those early disciples did. We've never touched the scars of Jesus like Thomas got to. And yet, if we've come to faith in Christ, we still love him. Not because we've seen him with our eyes, but because we've encountered him with our lives. Do you know what this room of people tells me today? And it's really exciting, is that Jesus is still at work in his world 2,000 years after he first walked on this earth. He is still at work. People are still seeking after him and longing to be in relationship with him. And I just wonder for you today, you know, have you come along on Easter Day? Have you encountered Jesus in your life? Today might be the day to encounter him. Would you encounter him and discover all of his character? It's incredible. I want to become more like Jesus. Would you encounter him today and learn more of the promises that he wants to make over your life? Would you encounter him today and discover him to be a risen Lord and a risen Savior? You see, all of that is the foundation of Christian hope. And this is why hope rises, I think, because our hope is not in outcomes. It's not in things working out the way that we want them to work out. It's not in life becoming somehow predictable or really easy, but our hope is in a person. And that person is Jesus, and that person is alive, and he loves to have relationship with you today. So even when you can't see the way forward, even when perhaps in your life you don't understand what God is doing, even when you're walking by faith and not by sight, you're never walking alone when you walk with Jesus, because you walk with a risen and a living Savior. So Peter reaches this amazing point in this scripture where words begin to fail him. And then he just gushes with this. So you are filled with an inexpressible and a glorious joy. Inexpressible meaning there are not enough words in the world to describe the feeling that you're having. It's a joy that comes beyond language. It's a joy that's beyond explanation. It's beyond categories. It's a joy that simply can't be boxed up and kept in a container. It's a joy that doesn't depend on circumstances. It's a joy that comes from knowing that Jesus is alive. This is not mere surface level happiness. This is not little joy, this is M&S joy that God wants us to experience. And you know, that's what Easter declares. And if you hear nothing else from me today, would you please hear this? That the tomb is empty. And if the tomb is empty, then Jesus must have risen. If the tomb is empty and Jesus is risen and you come into relationship with Christ, then your future, your eternity can be secure today. If the tomb is empty and Jesus is risen and your eternity can be secure today, then you can know that your sins can be forgiven. Yesterday does not need to define you today. What Peter describes here is not reserved for a select few. This is the normal Christian life, an inexpressible and a glorious joy. I wonder if you've experienced that because you've come to know and love Jesus. You see, at the end of the day, and with this I finish, ultimately all this comes down to one really, really important question. Do you love Jesus? Have you today, and can you say as clearly as you can, I've trusted Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. If you can say yes to that question, you have reason for hope today. And you have reason for hope tomorrow. And you have reason for hope for the rest of eternity. Because that's what Jesus does for us. So as I finish, I simply want to lead us in a prayer this morning. And as I pray this, I'm going to create an opportunity for anyone who wants to, maybe for the first time or again. I'm going to do it again, yeah? This will be like my 1,000th time I've committed my life to Jesus. I'm going to do that this morning. And I want you to invite you to do exactly the same. And in praying this really simple prayer this morning, we're just inviting Jesus to come into our lives, to be our forever friend, to be our Savior, to be the one that makes us right before God. And from this day, we can leave here as a Christian. Why not say Easter Day 2026 at Christ Church Baptist Church was the day I committed my life to Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we've been really challenged this morning, I think, through Peter's word to recognize that Easter isn't just something to believe about. It's something or someone actually to respond to. And Lord, we've discovered that that person we're invited to respond to is you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you want to make that commitment for the first time, just echo this prayer in your heart. You don't have to pray it out loud. You don't have to put your hands up or come forward or anything else. Just pray this in your own heart. And God hears what you pray. Lord Jesus, I'm inviting you to be my Lord and my Savior. I'm inviting you to be my forever friend and my rescuer. Thank you that because you died on the cross, my sins can be forgiven. So I'm trusting in your cross. I'm trusting in your resurrection to give me living hope from this day forward for the rest of eternity. And we pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you this morning, if you've perhaps prayed that prayer for the first time, tell the person that you came with, catch Kay or I. We'd love to explain for you a bit more what the journey of faith looks like. If you've not been able to pray that this morning, that's great. Come on our Alpha course. Explore some more as we explore what this whole faith thing is all about. We're going to stand together as we sing some songs of response, some words of worship before Kay closes up our time together. God bless you. Let's stand together.